Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 993. The topic is nutrition, and the title is, What Will You Do Afterwards? what I want to bring up today, nutrition-wise, is a lot of times people approach their goals with nutrition, such as weight loss, with only the short-term in mind. Meaning, how can I lose, say, 30 pounds? And then that's kind of where the thinking ends. So it's, okay, how can I get to this goal? My question is what are you going to do afterwards? What are you going to do after that goal? What I would encourage you to do is to think more long term. What I want to warn you against is allowing short-term goals to only make you think in the short term. So let's go through a couple examples. Number one would be, like, if you've heard of like diets where people do, it's called HCG shots. So you get this shot in your body, and the side effect of the shot is that it eliminates hunger, basically. You just don't feel hungry. So they'll then put you on a 500 calorie diet. So you take these shots, you eat like 500 calories, and of course you're going to lose weight because, holy crap, you're only eating 500 calories. So people lose weight. The question, though, then becomes, what do you do when you stop taking that shot? What do you do when the thing that's blocking your hunger is gone, and then you are hungry again, and you're going to be really freaking hungry because you just only ate 500 calories for a long time. Your body lost a ton of body fat, and it's going to lose muscle tissue along the way. Your body is in this stressed state. So when you stop taking that shot, when you take away that kind of Band-Aid, what are you going to do afterwards? Let's look at another example, ketogenic diets. You're going to avoid carbohydrates. I'm not going to eat any carbohydrates. I'm going to lose 20, 30, 40, 50 pounds. Okay, well, what are you going to do afterwards? Are you going to slowly start to eat carbs back again? Are you going to magically be able to control carbohydrate intake? Even though before you did the ketogenic diet, you could not control carbohydrate intake. What of your eating habits, your normal, natural eating habits, have you changed? Nothing. You ate like a jackass. You then said, okay, I'm not going to eat any carbohydrates. Well, okay, that typically causes a caloric reduction. You're all of a sudden going to lose weight. And then you're going to say, okay, that was great. I lost the weight I wanted. What are you going to go back to? Eating like a jackass. You have not learned how to not eat like a jackass. The other example would be starvation diets with excessive exercise. I have a major goal. I'm going to eat very freaking little. I'm going to do a ton of cardio. I'm going to lose that weight because I'll be damned if, blah, 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 blah. Well, what do you do afterwards? What eating pattern are you going to go to once starvation no longer can continue? What eating pattern are you going to go to once you can't continue a ketogenic diet? What eating pattern are you going to go to once you can't continue to do HCG shots? Intermittent fasting. Well, I'm going to eat whatever I want, but only eat it between, say, 6 p.m. and 10 p.m. Since it's a restriction of time, it's going to cause a restriction of calories. You will then, in turn, lose weight. Well, what are you going to do when you go back to eating during the day? When you want to add back in breakfast? When you want to add back in lunch because you're out with friends or it's a weekend and you're with the family? What are you going to do afterwards? It's okay to have short-term goals. Of course, well, there's nothing wrong with having short-term goals. But you need to ask yourself is, what will I do after this? If you don't have a definitive plan of what to do after the goal is met, you're going to end up doing what you were doing before. If your old habits made you fat and unhealthy, they're going to make you fat and unhealthy again. What will you do afterwards? What is the long-term change that you're going to make? Now, I've done a bunch of short-term goals myself. I've lost 50 pounds in 10 weeks or less three times. I actually lost 50 pounds in 8 weeks one time because I just wanted to test myself and challenge myself. The first time I ever did it was challenge with a friend, and I won. Yeah. So the next two times were just kind of mental challenges to see if I could do it. I've also had challenges where I gained weight, try to gain weight. I tried to eat 5,000 calories a day for 30 days in a row, and I was successful. At one point in time in my life, I tried to drink a gallon of milk a day to try to gain weight. And I drank a gallon of milk a day for 2 years in a row. I never missed a single day in 2 years of drinking a gallon of milk a day. I've done a lot of other ones, but we'll keep that list short. So that's enough to get the point across that I have done this for fat loss. I have done this for weight gain. But in each of those cases, I knew what I was going to return to afterwards. I did a 10-month diet one time where I lost 70 pounds. Do you know how much of that weight after the 70 pounds, like after I gained back after the 10 months? I gained back the weight at whatever rate I damn well pleased because I knew what to do. I didn't lose 70 pounds in 10 months to only put 20 pounds back on in 1 month. How many of us have that experience? We met a short-term goal, but we rebounded. And in the long term, we're not really much further ahead. If that has happened to you, you're normal. It's happened to pretty much everybody. But let's work against that. Let's not let it happen again. So ask yourself, what will I do after this? Consider what your long-term plan will be. The best answer I can give you is to make what you do a lifestyle. Make it something that is sustainable over time, that is sustainable for the long term. Eating nothing except for a 4-hour time block in the day is not sustainable long term. Taking HCG shots is not sustainable long term. Avoiding entire food groups like carbohydrates and avoiding entire macronutrients is not sustainable long term. Starving yourself and doing hours of cardio a day is not sustainable long term. What is? What's sustainable long term is education and modification of daily habits that can be sustained from day to day. The steps that I would have you take. I'm going to give you an example of a nutrition program I wrote for a client recently. I'll talk you through it and kind of explain a little bit. But what you're going to need to do is you're going to need to learn what's most impactful and what's most important in nutrition. I just talked with a client today, actually, and they had gone on like a week vacation. They had the high hopes, and we invested a lot of talking into what they would do on vacation in order to stay with nutrition and training. Well, of course, life happens. They got a couple workouts in, but not as many as they wanted. They ate a couple good meals, of course. They did great. But they also ate a couple meals that they didn't want. So they made some good things, and they made some bad things. They did some good stuff. They did some bad stuff. The whole time, they said, they felt super stressed about all the things they were messing up. And they said during the trip, they were so worried that every mistake they made, they were just going to undo all the progress that they had made in the last year or two. To which my answer was, why the hell do you think that 1 week of bad eating would negate an entire year of work? The answer was, they didn't know what the effects were. Which was interesting because messing up their food during the trip, they actually still ate good meals, like for breakfast. They had good meals a couple other times. But in general, their eating pattern while they were on vacation was actually better than the eating pattern they had had before they ever kind of got into exercise and nutrition. So let's say they started super serious about 2 years ago. That means that they had 20 years of eating like a jackass. If they go back to eating like a jackass for only 1 week, it does not equate to what happened over 20 years of eating like a jackass. If it took 20 years for somebody to get 50 pounds overweight, eating 1 week like that will not get them 50 pounds back overweight. So think about how long it took the person to get out of shape, to get overweight. Eating like that for 1 week won't recreate all of that. And you actually ate better during that 1 week than you did before you ever got into physical fitness and health. Furthermore, you can't really accumulate and actually create that much fat in a single week. If you think about how much fat the human body can create in a single week, I do not know the exact number, but I would be amazed if it was 2 or 3 pounds. So if you eat like a jackass for a week, you're not going to all of a sudden gain 10 pounds. You might see a big jump on a scale because it's related to water weight. So especially people who've avoided carbohydrates and then started eating carbohydrates again, you're going to say, oh, you know, carbs are bad for me because, you know, they make me fat when I eat them. No, they make you hold water because that's what carbohydrates do. Carbohydrates combined with sodium. Okay, sorry, I got distracted there for a second. So something happened with my computer. But carbohydrates combined with sodium, whenever you put those together with water, the body will hold water like that. So the body, when you eat carbohydrates again, it will soak in water, sodium, and carbohydrates. Your body weight will go up because now all of a sudden your body is holding more water than it used to before. It's holding the water in your muscles, but it doesn't mean you actually got fat. It just means you weigh more because you're holding more water. So we talk about this in much deeper detail in podcast number 650. So if you want to check out podcast 650, it's titled Body Weight Effects from Carbohydrates and Sodium. And I go through it for like 30 some minutes telling you all the science behind it. But when you start eating carbohydrates again, that's all that's happening is your body's retaining more water. Furthermore, if you're traveling, maybe you were dehydrated from sitting on a plane. So your body lost a lot of water. But then as soon as you got off the plane, you started eating food and drinking water again. You started moving around again, so the body super compensated and it kept more water. So for example, that client, she weighed herself the day she got back from her trip. She was 1.5 pounds down from what she normally was. But the very next day, she was up 0.5 pounds. And it's just manipulations of water weight. So if we understand how water weight affects our weight, natural intake of carbohydrates, sodium, and fluids, if we understand that our body really can't create and form more than, say, 2 or 3 pounds of fat in a week, if we also understand that our body requires weeks and weeks and weeks of unuse of muscles to start to like significantly waste away at muscle tissue. So they've done studies with people with complete bed rest who've been paralyzed and found that there's not a significant amount of muscle tissue lost until about 14 days or later. So if you're up and active doing anything, you're going to be able to maintain your muscle mass even if you took a week off from lifting weights. So educating yourself on what the effects are of not eating or not exercising for a week would alleviate all of her concern and stress. So education is the answer. And you're doing that by listening to today's podcast. So congratulations. How you will know what to do afterwards, how you will know how to make long-term changes, is by education. So podcast 41, way back when, podcast 41. So that's 952 podcasts ago. We did a podcast titled Diet Right, What Matters Most. You can Google that or you can email me at brutalirongym@gmail.com and I'll send you the direct link. But podcast 41 talks about what matters most when it comes to food. What's the most impactful decisions we can make? What you'll find is that the most impactful decision we can make is to control our calories. It is not what we eat. It's how much we eat that matters most. So podcast 153 will teach you how many calories you need. Podcast 33 then teaches you the second most important thing, which is having a balance of protein in your diet. That's podcast 33, titled How Much Protein Do I Need? Then podcast 249 covers meal timing. Those are the first three most impactful things when it comes to nutrition. How much are you eating? Do you have enough protein in there? And when are you eating it? So, as I mentioned, we'll talk about a nutrition client. They contacted me, and their goal is to stay active. They're physically fit, but they want to kind of trim up and lose weight a little bit. Well, we talked about that their nutrition is kind of a little bit scattered. Some days they travel for work, some days they don't. Some days they have breakfast, some days they don't. So one of the things we decided was to create a plan that would normalize a consistent meal schedule, that would normalize a consistent hydration schedule, that would normalize a balance in caloric timing to match their activity level, meaning they'll eat more when they move more, eat less when they move less. And we have a way built in there for them to eat even more around the times of their workouts. So what we did was we broke their day into time blocks. We broke their day into 6 4-hour blocks. Okay, 6 times 4 equals 24, hopefully. That is 24 hours in a day. So you can have 6 4-hour segments. Now you're sleeping during 2 of those segments, give or take an hour or so. So really, you have 4 4-hour blocks that you need to manage. The first 4 hours you're awake, the second set of 4 hours, the third set of 4 hours, then the final set of 4 hours. In each of those 4 hours, you want to try to consume a window, but a range of calories and a range of liquids. That range is individually dependent on each person. You would listen to podcast 153. You would find out how many calories you needed. You would divide it by 4. Then that tells you how many calories per 4-hour block you're supposed to aim for. Okay? Do the same thing with protein. Listen to podcast 33. Find out how much protein you should need. Divide that daily amount by 4. That tells you how much you should aim for in each of the 4-hour blocks. Then, track yourself and see if you do it. Okay? Try to eat that many calories of whatever food. It doesn't even matter at first. Just eat whatever the hell you want. It doesn't matter. Just eat within that 4-hour block the amount of calories you're supposed to have for calories and protein. That automatically then controls your meal timing because you're eating within 4-hour blocks throughout the day. Okay? Now, one of the things you can do is to add calories to the time block that you would exercise. If you don't exercise that day, you don't add anything. But when you do exercise, you do add calories, and this creates caloric cycling. This helps you lose fat but still build muscle. You're going to have surplus of calories at the time your body's recovering from training, but you're going to have a deficit of calories away from the training times. Therefore, you're building muscle when there's a demand for muscle. You're losing fat when there's a demand for fat. Now, how many calories do you add during that training block? It depends on the individual, but roughly we add 50% to 100% of what each of your 4-hour time blocks were. So say each of your 4-hour time blocks was supposed to be 600 calories. Then you would add 300 to 600 calories somewhere in there during the time block that you exercised. Okay? You can track your calories using MyFitnessPal. That'll tell you how many calories and protein that were in every food you have. That adds it up for you so that way you can kind of figure out if you're in the right window. What foods should you eat? Just stick to foods that you already know are probably good healthy ones. But when you're at a restaurant or you're at a friend's house or you don't have a great choice, you just enter in whatever the hell you ate into MyFitnessPal. It tells you the calorie amounts, and then you know how to regulate how much to eat, even if what you have to eat isn't the best option. Okay? That is a long-term successful answer to what to do afterwards. It's to listen to podcast 153, find out how many calories you need per day, divided by 4. Listen to podcast 33, find out how much protein you need per day, divided by 4. Every 4 hours, you eat one of those amounts, okay? So every 4 hours, you're eating 1/4 of your calories, 1/4 of your protein. This is long-term success. It allows variability. Say you're a little bit under your calories in 1 4-hour window, you add them back to the next 4-hour window. You're a little under protein, you add it to the next one. You're a little over on calories in one of the windows, take those calories away from the next one. You just modify, but you control and regulate your calories just like you do your money. You have a certain amount that you want to keep in your bank account. When you have a surplus, you can buy a little bit of fun things. When you're in a deficit, you save money, you work your ass off, you bring it back up. Managing your money and managing your calories are pretty much the same damn thing. chances are, if you're poor with money, you're probably poor with calories. If you're poor with calories, you're probably, like, if you're good with calories, you're probably good with money. But this is something that I've learned over my life, is that those two are very closely knit. And it helped me learn that even more when I got into business. So I had to start managing a lot more money, and it was a lot more consequences if I were to be lazy or get any of it wrong, that's for damn sure. So this is the answer to what we do afterwards, is understanding what's most important. Tracking calorie, tracking protein, putting it within time segments of the day. This is long-term sustainable because what you eat doesn't really matter much. So if you want to have fun and eat some wings, if you're super busy and you just have to eat some kind of stupid quick snack bar that you don't really normally want, but that's all you have available, you don't have to feel bad about those things because you're just making ends meet to get to the numbers you need. If you want to eat a Snickers bar, who gives a shit? Eat a Snickers bar. Just factor it into your calories. Okay? Get rid of the uncertainty. Get rid of the worry. Get rid of the stress by simply just educating yourself a little bit. You only have to listen to 3 podcasts, 153, 33, and 249. I actually took care of the 249 for you, which is about meal timing, because I told you how to split your day up into 4-hour blocks. So really, okay, you only have to listen to 2 podcasts, 153 and 33. And then you just have to manage calories like you manage money. Do you get to be a lazy ass towards money and then always magically have money in your bank account? No. Do you get to be a lazy ass towards nutrition and then always have 6-pack abs and look great and feel great? No. Laziness is not usually a luxury we can afford in life and have a good outcome. Nutrition's the same way. You got to put a little bit of work into it. But what I have told you is the least damn bit of work that you need to put in. But it's long-term sustainable, and you can eat whatever you want, whenever you want, and better manage life and enjoy life, feel less stressed about it. Okay? Well, hopefully today's podcast was helpful. Just really think through whatever you're doing right now. Is it long-term sustainable? If not, try what I said. Listen to podcast 153, podcast 33, split it up into 4-hour blocks, manage that throughout the day. If you have any questions, if you want any help putting that together, just email us. Our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. I can help you. I can answer some basic questions for free, of course, but if you want somebody to put it together for you so it's a nice, neatly wrapped package and you just have to kind of start doing it, obviously you can pay for that. That's a good service. And then we also have support where we will communicate with you every single week, giving you help, giving you support, answering questions, making sure that it can become a long-term solution for you in your life. Okay? Cool. Well, thank you for listening to today's podcast. I hope it was helpful. If you did like it, please click like. If you think it's helpful, please share it. But I genuinely appreciate you participating in the podcast, and I hope that you're getting what you need from it. You can find more information from us on our social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. Then, as always, if you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, if there's ever anything you need, we're always here. Our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. Whatever you're struggling with, reach out, let us know, and I promise I'll help. Okay. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.